الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات وعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As we are discussing that Roza, Ulama have explained that on the various parts of the body also there are Roza, and those must also be kept. That is Roza of the eyes, saving the eyes from all types of guna. And then Roza of the tongue, and all the types of guna that are related with the tongue. And then Roza of the ears also, and all gunas that are related with the ears. And in all these things, we also tried to explain that it is the great qudrat of Allah, is the creations of Allah. And also, it is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Each one of them is such a great ni'mat, and it is also an amanat. So similarly, ulama have explained that we should also be careful of the food that we eat in Roza. That also we have to exercise great caution and see that we eat the correct food. And in that, there are two aspects. The one is, like a person went to a butcher to go and buy meat. So he asked him, is your meat halal? So he asked him, is your money halal? So both things have to be right. What we consume, that also must be halal and correct. And with the money that we buy, that money must be also lawful and correct. If it is haram money, stolen money, money we gain from gambling, from any other haram source, then that is also haram, and then the food also. And also with regard to the food, what we are consuming, what we are eating, we have to be very, very, and perhaps more careful of that also. Because if it was haram money, you stole from somebody money, then you can pay him back again. But the food that has gone in the body, that is gone in the body. And this is so important. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his slaves, used to earn, and it was the money of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But on one occasion, he gave the money, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu consumed whatever he gave. And then he asked him, you usually ask me from where is this, you didn't ask me. So he asked, from where is it? So he says, I should do something like fortune telling before. And the person for whom I did it, he did not pay me, he paid me now. Then that was now not halal money. And so particular Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, he put his finger in his by his throat until he vomited it all out. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that which is haram, the only place for it is the fire of Jahannam. And that meat of ours and the blood of our body, the flesh that is produced with haram, the only place for that is the fire of Jahannam. So this is also a very important aspect that we have to see to, that during this month at least, that we see that what we eat, our income is also 100% correct, and what we eat also. In the past we know, perhaps they are now also, like when they go for Hajj, to make sure that their Hajj is 100% correct, they borrow money from somebody. And then they come back and pay that person back that money. So that was 100%, that money was correct. Similarly, for Ramadan also, all the expenses of the month of Ramadan, they borrow the money from somebody. And then after that they pay them back again. So people you take lot precaution with this. And especially in today's world, in every aspect where everything is so contaminated, interest has made its way through almost into everything. And then the food also that we buy, today if you go into a supermarket with your shopping basket, normally we will just take from the shelf and we put it in. we pay with our credit card, we pay with our cash, whatever form we pay. But on all those things, the ingredients of that food and the e-numbers, the way they have camouflaged all so many haram things. When at one time they were writing the ingredients properly, the Muslims picked it up. Now they have covered up lot of things in which there are some pig things, swine things, other haram things, and just with the e-numbers. And it is almost impossible, very difficult for a person to know, remember which e-number is referring to what. And there are good write-ups on this also. If we can get that, those details, then we should read it up and see that how they are working in order that we don't get halal food, especially for the Muslims. In fact, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi has written, when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was appointed the ruler over the Muslims, then the first thing he did, there was a group of very pious people in Kufa, 40 people who were very righteous and pious. He invited them to a meal. And after that, after the meal, he said, now I don't have to worry for the bad dua, the bad dua of these people, because whenever a ruler was put on them who used to make zulam or anything, they should make dua, Allah should remove that ruler. They were mustajabud da'awat. All their duas were readily accepted. But the first thing he did, he says, I've given them haram to eat. Now their duas won't be accepted. And we perhaps wonder also, we know the condition of the Muslims in the world presently, which we all should be still making dua and earnestly and sincerely. Sri Lanka, what is happening, many other places, how Muslims are going through difficulties. We shouldn't forget the Muslims also, the news that comes through in China, where they are not allowed to keep roza, they are not allowed to fast, they are forced to say words of kufr and take their leaders as their gods, etc. Very, very difficult conditions. We should make dua for all those people. Everywhere we should be making dua, making dua, making dua. So anyway, the whole world's people are making dua also, and especially in the Haramain Sharifain, when Quran Sharif will be made khatam, and what passionate duas are made. Those imams also, mashallah, what beauty, and with what feeling, and the whole haram, million people, 2 million people, all saying ameen, but the ummah's condition is still the same. So we have to be very worried of what we consume. As even when we go to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, what we are eating there, just buying off from the takeaways, etc., from the restaurants, what type of food. We have to be very, very careful. The least we can say is we have to be very, very careful of what we consume anywhere, whether it is in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, the news that comes on in the newspapers there. Sometimes when they find out what food is being served, etc., we have to be very, very cautious. Otherwise, a person makes all his ibadat, but if the food what he's eating is not correct, then everything will go down the drain. There was a student in America who was doing hifz, and he was just not progressing. As he just couldn't learn. Whatever little he learns, he forgets also. They went to an alim and asked him, so immediately the first question he asked, what food does he eat? So they said that he eats from the Kentucky's and all these other outlets. So he said, stop that immediately and let him eat proper nutritional house food. They started that, and within 2 weeks, then he was on his way, he was learning. In this ayat-e kareema, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing the rasuls, ya ayyuhar rusul, the plural of the rasuls, and the rasuls are the most highest category of people. More higher than the malaika also, even the anbiya, a nabi and a rasul. Every rasul is definitely a nabi also, but every nabi is not a rasul. Rasul is a person of Allah Ta'ala's messenger, rasul, with a kitab also, specific kitab, and his position is very high. Allah is addressing them. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Kulu min al-tayyibat. That eat not min al-halal only, but what halal? Tayyibat. So the food must be halal also, and more than that, it must be tayyib also. And what is that halal? We know what is halal. And today almost anything, what we eat is not really halal, but certified halal. Hopefully it is halal. But at one time, it was clearly, هذا halal وهذا haram. That this is halal, this is haram. But now it is a matter of it being certified as halal. So anyway, so not only that it is halal, but more than that, it is tayyib also. That is, no shak shuba in it. 100% it must be. Or that it is wholesome, healthy, good food. It mustn't be perhaps junk food also. With all halal ingredients, it is 100% halal. But it must be healthy, good food. Today, unfortunately, in every aspect, we are being bombarded with all the wrong things. And if we go into this, we will be shocked that what we are eating. Every morsel of food that we're putting in our mouth. Once on such a discussion, one friend said that in India, the green bananas that are taken, completely green, but they are just dipped into a chemical and immediately they are ripe already. And lot of other things. How many places where milk, things which are sold as milk, but actually it is bleach. Bleach which we use to wash clothes. Some chemically they transform it and make it into milk. And they were caught out. One place in Saudi, in Jeddah, with all the rotten meat they were caught. They sold that all to the restaurants, all rotten meat. This is not even to do with halal and nothing, but rotten meat. And then they just will cook it and they put all the spices and etc. And people enjoy the meal. So if we study this and we follow up on it, we will be shocked that throughout the world, not only in Muslim countries, throughout the world, and especially when a thing is commercialized, it's money-making, then it's money-making. Then they don't worry about anything, One good alim, who was an inspector in one of the where they slaughter chickens, so he told us that when he checked after slaughtering, and they make pieces also, somebody sell whole other pieces, and then they inject those pieces with brine. And he told them that this brine that you inject, like some type of water mixed with something, just causes blood pressure and causes sugar diabetes in a person. They said, we're not interested in that. We're interested in making money. This brine blows it up. And today, all of us, when we are sitting at a meal, we want that white meat. We want that meat that is nice, blown up nicely, that meat. But that is not really meat you're having, it's that brine. That made blew it up and makes it heavy. So when they weigh it also, it is more heavier, and also it is more bigger in size also. So all this type of things, plenty of these things are carrying on. And if we are not careful, and how much is a person going to be careful? But in here, abstinence is a very great thing. And in this month, if we learn to control ourselves with our food, and the real essence of this is that a person must have control. Otherwise, when the food is there, the eyes are bigger than the stomach, a person just can't control himself. If we can bring ourselves that we learn to control ourselves, otherwise, the person just wants all these things, and then all these masail, all the ihtiyat, and the things which are careful are just thrown overboard. And a person doesn't worry at all. Our income also, where today people are working in what kind of institutions, in banks, etc., in other places, when we deal, and with regard to interest, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who writes about the transactions of interest. And today accountants, CAs, we are happy we are CAs and all that, but how many of all these transactions have to be written also? So all that, every aspect of the interest is also whoever gets involved. Today there are many Muslim people, hopefully, that we don't take interest. We don't take interest, but we are involved in giving interest. Whether we are buying cars, bonds on the houses, etc., loans from the banks, etc., we are engaged in paying interest. Though that does not contaminate our actual income in that, but it is also a haram act. And all these things with liquor, with interest, and with all this, every person who is a participant to it is also equally guilty of that sin. So we have to be very, very careful about these things, and on a broader scale and a long term, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given Muslims, they have got a lot of money also, plenty of people, big businesses, etc. If they can go into these things and make sure that they offer the Muslim halal things. And another very sad part, those people who do try to do this halal, strictly halal, but then the people are not interested also. One person, though it costs a little bit more, the people are prepared to pay that little bit more also. But because that it doesn't appeal anymore to the taste. The other things, they appeal much more. Like for example, a family that was having meals in Makkah Sharif, so the child asked for the black Zamzam, referring to Pepsi. That there also, Zamzam on the table, he doesn't want the white Zamzam. He wants the black Zamzam, the Pepsi, that's what he prefers. Today all these things which have got actual good health for us, that doesn't taste nice to us today. But the other things, all these things, the taste of it is so has so much appeal to us, we just can't seem to give it up. So this is during this month, if we can work and get something at least, some type of regulation, moderation. Otherwise, this is the thing where shaitan is also destroying us almost totally. And if we are, and also don't think it is not possible to have halal today. Otherwise, Allah would not have given us the command. Allah would have said, now in this zamana, you can't help it, so you can have haram. No, it is, but it is that has to be in us, that we want that halal. And for that, one basic thing is that we will have to give up all this, luxury and all this extra things that we want. It comes in that if we stick to the basics, it won't be difficult at all. Today, for example, vegetables are easily available. And if we come on a diet of vegetables, not that we become vegetarians, not at all, but that we have more vegetables. Today, our nature has become, forget eating out and eating from the restaurant, from the takeaways, fast foods, etc. But in our houses, today, a meal cannot be without chicken. Whereas it was a time not so long ago when chicken was a rare commodity in the diet. Even good, healthy chicken, farm chickens, which are for that also should not be consumed so much. It's got a lot of heat in it, what the Hakims referred to. It's hot. It makes your nature hot. Your desire for sex, for lust, it increases it also. Whereas vegetables cool you down. Today, many of our youngsters have this problem, masturbation, for example, going on to porn, for example, other things. The food that we are eating excites all these things. And in this fast food, fast foods, ingredients are put so that these things, the more they come into a person, and the lust grows in a person. And therefore, many a youngster, perhaps all the youngsters feel, we just have to have these things. We can't stay without it. When we are eating that, and then the chicken that we are eating again is not that farm chicken, that original farm chicken. The chicken that we are eating, it has so much this brine and other things are put into it. And when we take it from a fast food outlet, then more, all the spices which are added, the things which are put in there, all these things are to arouse us even more. And then our inclination doesn't go towards good. In this surah, in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, Allah is addressing the highest category of people. Kulu min at-tayyibat. Eat of that which is 100% halal. Eat of that which is healthy, which is wholesome. The natural effect of that is wa'amalu saliha, that you will do amali saliha. When ulama have written, when we eat this type of food, then the desire comes in a person to do good deeds. Now he enjoys doing good deeds. He looks forward to doing good deeds. And today generally we say, I make my namaz, but I don't get enjoyment. I haven't got that urge. I don't get that enjoyment in namaz, in tilawat, in zikr, in dua. All this, we have to see what food we are eating. Besides the food, there are other things also. But this is a major contributing factor, the food that we eat. And today, the halal can't be registered also exclusive for this. The governments don't allow it. It can't be. So anyone just puts a halal board. Some people whose children were studying at a university, and they went and visited the children, and they decided to go and buy some food from the outlet. When they went there, so they take a little while preparing, and that also, another aspect, all that food, it's in a deep freeze. It's prepared from how long ago. It's not fresh food also. It's all in the deep freeze. So then they defrost it, put it in the microwave. It takes a little while. So they were getting the order ready. So just to make conversation, the other person was telling that this which is written here, yeah, halal, what does halal mean? So he said it means spicy food. That halal, according to him, was piri piri, nice spicy food. That is all. Now a person whose concept is of halal like that, then what are we going to be eating? At one place, in another town, so a person had given his car for service, his annual regular service, and they told him it will be ready by this time. When he went, it wasn't ready. So he was standing outside. Personally, he told us this experience of his. He was waiting outside till the car gets ready, and the shop next to it was one of this Chicken Licken or Kentucky or somebody. And the lady who was working in there was his customer at his shop. So he knew this lady. And he saw this lady coming with a packet of something from across the road. She had something. So he knew her, so he spoke to her and he asked her, what is that? So she says, I went to this big shop here to go and buy chickens. What chicken? She says that chicken, yeah, we now wish whatever it was, Chicken Licken or Kentucky, whatever, our chickens got finished, which were supposed to be the halal chicken. So when they got finished, I just went and buy from there. So he said, did you consider whether it's halal? She doesn't even know about that. And she just went and buy more chickens just in order to, the customers will come to give them. And innumerable instances of this type. So this food that we are eating, that also, that then our children who today pet chatting, they don't want to listen to their parents. Children say openly, my parents don't want to listen to me. So that is the frame of mind that has been made. Otherwise, children have to listen to the parents, not the parents have to listen to their children. And that is a complaint of a child. Not that he say that he knows it's wrong, parents mustn't listen to me, I have to try and win them over or something. But for him, he takes it for granted. And I hope it is wrong. But people say we can't seem to understand and grasp it. But they say that the parents are forced to listen to the children. What the children say, the parents are forced to do that. And the parents have to listen to the children. All this is the type of food. The clothes that we are giving them. The environment. Then it is the cell phone. Then it is the TV. It seems that it is a losing battle. But it is not a losing battle. Because there are so many people, mashallah, who are on the right. And their children also. So they are so much on the right path, everything. So it's not, but it is just like with everything else also. The media plays a very major role in this. In the actual fact, on the ground, Islam is progressing and Islam is spreading. non-Muslims who are accepting Islam, Muslims who are becoming better Muslims. It is in huge numbers in the world. But the media, usually, they will portray completely opposite. Somebody did something wrong with a Muslim name, somebody became a murtad. This, in various ways, they will splash it. And many times we get caught up in it also. We also talk more about it. Whereas Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, speak, what you want must come alive, speak about those things. And what you want must die out, the wrong things, don't speak about it also. It will die its own death. But when we speak about it, we make it a big issue again. Where little bit it is necessary perhaps for some du'as or something, but that now we just speak about all the wrong things, then we feel that now it's difficult, life is difficult, we can't live a proper life. And if you hear the right thing, and there is a lot of right, for that particularly karguzari of jamaats we hear, how much good is taking place, and lot of other places, lot of good is taking place, and we ourselves are aware. For example, this madrasa where we are sitting, in the 60s, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Pakistan was visiting South Africa, and he was the guest, the host were people of Krugersdorp. Those were his. There was no Azadville at that time. Nothing, no township like Azadville. There was no existence of it. So he was their host, and when he was their guest, they were his host. When he was leaving, so the people, the old people who have all passed away now in the 60s, that's what 60 years ago about. They told Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, the way the condition is now at the moment in our country, we don't think our youngsters will even be Muslims when they grow up. Such were the conditions. Mufti Sahib at that time said one word. He said, there will be a Darul Uloom in your town. When there wasn't the town also, Azad was also not in existence. So these are the pious people, what comes out from their tongues, their du'as, this effect. So at a time when things were so bad, see how, and today alhamdulillah, how many students I have graduated, where and where, what work they are doing, how many hafiz al-Quran. So even now, we might look at it a bit in a bleak way, but it isn't like that. If we just look around in our country, many of us might not be aware, but the concept of hijab and niqab was totally non-existent in our country. It wasn't there at all. And today, mashallah, little children, how many people revert, everyone, they also don the niqab, and they've got to correct and through parda is still very far. Kurta was a thing when we returned from India, that was in the 70s, and there was imtihan at the madrasa, at the maktab, and when the mumtahin, the people taking imtihan, when they came to take the imtihan, they told one alim, who was a family of theirs, so they were very informal with him, they could tell him, they said there was a time when even the ulama were not wearing kurta. And a few who were wearing, they should put it inside their trouser, not outside. And then they should put it inside. This was the condition. But today, mashallah, all sitting here, topi, who should wear a topi? It was only one or two families who were known as pious families. Otherwise, nobody used to wear topi. Tie was the in thing, everyone practically. On Eid day, it was not a day where we see people with kurta, everyone with a new suit. That was the condition which we saw with our eyes. And over this not so long period, what a great change has come. And this is happening throughout the world. When an ijtima was taking place, one alim said that in India, they said that now tabligh work has started in your country also. He was visiting in India. So there he said that in South Africa, you can forget. Never will the day come when people will sit on the floor and eat. He says, yeah, in India, they sell like poor, or they can't afford it. India of that time I'm speaking. Today's India also is a complete new India. It's a different India. So he said that, yeah, perhaps they can sit on the floor and eat. But South Africa, you can forget that anyone will sit on the floor and eat. And today, when we will go for our iftari now, our sehri, otherwise this was the thing, the poorest family also wouldn't ever sit on the floor and eat. All were sitting at tables, on chairs, and sitting at the table and eating. So Allah Ta'ala has brought a great change. So we must work on, with regard to our food, that also. Though, of course, this is also another thing. Those days, the food was not, it was pure food that time. The chicken were kept in the fowl run in at the back of the house. Visitors used to come. No deep freeze or anything. One of the chicken, you catch it, you slaughter it yourself, you clean it, and that was cooked. And vegetables, many homes had vegetable patches in their gardens. But today also, in fact, that was a thing, one thing that we had passed through. Those people who had these beautiful gardens of lawns and flowers, the other people who are on the right side, they should look down and scorn at this. That this is a waste of time, waste of money. You plant vegetables. And almost every home should have vegetables planted. All the basic vegetables used to be planted in the backyard, in the little garden. And if there was a little garden of flowers and lawn and roses, it was a small piece. But today, our gardens only mean that we have got this lawn gardens, or we got all our flowers. Which of our gardens have got any vegetables today? And also a very important thing, that these vegetables, when they are grown in our own yard, and nobody else's eyes, no non-Muslim's eyes have fallen on them, then that has got much more greater effect. The talks we give, one good friend of ours, a student, he went for Jamaat some time ago now also, but he used to listen to this. When he came back from Jamaat, immediately he informed me. They went to Pakistan, and they said in their Jamaat, there was one friend of theirs, one sati, who used to cry a lot, so much he used to cry, almost 24 hours, and they felt he's going to lose his life the way he cries. So they went to one village, a little bit small like a village, a small little town, and they told the responsible people of that place, Zimmedar, that we have got this problem, this person is crying so much. They said it's very easy, no difficulty in solving this problem. Just take him to where the shops are, and where there are the tea shops, where they sell tea. And preferably take him to a shop where music also is playing, and let him have a cup of tea there. When he went there and he had that one cup of tea, Abad, after that all his crying was gone. Just that one cup of tea and that little music perhaps that was there, that changed him completely. Bhai Abdul Wahhab Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali used to say that in the days of before, in the Khanqas, etc., if a person was making too much zikr, and they wanted to lessen his zikr, either his body couldn't take it, he's enjoying it, he's doing it, but his mental capacity, his heart's capacity, he can't take so much zikr. Or pride is coming in him, that I'm doing so much zikr. Then to lessen his zikr, all they used to do is get food from which comes from the bazaar. That food which everyone's eyes had fallen on. Just that eyes falling, the food is 100% correct, nothing wrong. But just the eyes of the people, Muslim people, all types, sinners, all types of fajirs, fasiqs, their eyes have fallen on that, let him eat that. And that made his zikr become less. His desire for deen becomes less. And today our food all is almost 100%. When we are eating all this ready-made food, who is preparing that food? And everything is in there. So then how can we have that? Then we can't even understand, forget doing, making the amal, we can't even understand that how the people of before, they should eat so little, but they ate that pure halal food, and how it used to last them, and what effect it had on them, and then what great feats and what features they had achieved because of the food that they ate. This one king of Afghanistan, Dost Muhammad, at one time he was informed that the enemy is attacking his country, so he sent his son, who was in charge of the army, he sent him to go and repel this enemy. So when they went and they fought, the battle took place. Then military intelligence came to the king that the son is defeated, the enemy has won, and they are now approaching the capital, Kabul. So when this news came, naturally the king was very concerned, and he was pacing up and down all the time that what is this now, this now, what's going to happen? The enemy are coming right onto the capital now. So his wife asked him, what's wrong? So he explained. So the wife very casually said that it's impossible, that news is wrong. It's impossible. So he thought she's a lady of the house. She just stays in the four corners, not even of the house, of her bedroom. She's just one place, and she's just with her zikr, fikr, dua, and that. What she knows about what happened at the battle and military intelligence, how securely and the proper intelligence come. What does she know about all this? But Abad, after a day or two, the news came that it was totally wrong that he used, that the son defeated the enemy. Not that they defeated his son and he had repelled them and they had gone. So then he went to his wife and asked his wife that how come you were so convinced about it, that it was impossible, that your son can never lose a battle. She said, when I conceived, I did not even eat the food which you give me. He was also a pious person. But you're a king, all types of money comes to you. I worked with my own hands and earned money. And with that I ate, with that I breastfed him, with that I brought him up. And she says, a son, that a boy who is brought up with that halal can never ever see failure in his life. So this is the food that we eat. If we have the right food, then see the results, which we cannot imagine also. So we have to work in this direction. We don't have to go on the defense. We don't have to think that the battle is lost or anything. No, we must work. So one thing, if what we can do, is we get used to vegetables again. The other thing is we get used to lentils also. Dar. Today, dar is a swear word. If we tell the children, today there is mug in the house, or today there is mugdar or something, it's like you swore them or something. It can't be conceived, whereas that was the normal staple food. And now comes the time that all this causes too much winds. In those days, then it didn't cause winds. Now all this causes too much winds all the time. It might be causing winds, no problem. But what we are more worried, we're not worried about the effect of that haram what it's having. We are more worried about this winds and that. So anyway, if we consider the food that we eat and we try and regulate it, we will be doing ourselves a very, very great favor. Otherwise, through the food channel, we have been destroyed. And in fact, one person, which perhaps doesn't make sense, but he said that when America attacked Afghanistan, one person, an analyst, of warfare analyst, he said, we did a very wrong thing that we went with all our bombers and our jets and with all our things. All we should have done is dropped candy there, sugar-coated things. And when they get used to that, then they should have been involved in all types of sicknesses. They should have given up all their traditional life and that. And they should become like what we are. We are just after candy all the time. After just the taste. The tongue is just the 3-4 centimeters. We just was worried of appeasing and making happy and enjoying the tongue. The minute it goes down, then all sicknesses after that. That we not worried about. All we want is just that 3-4 centimeters of enjoyment. Whatever we have, just the enjoyment of the tongue, besides that, whatever it does to destroy us, we are not worried. Of course, we didn't know the Afghani people, and this again is another instance where we have got the complete wrong picture about Afghanistan. Afghanistan is still fully under the Taliban, and they are ruling fully. And America, the amount of lies they are speaking and the media they are putting, not at all. They got no say there whatsoever. So the first hand reports that we get of people who go there personally, and what they see, Islam is at such height that we cannot imagine there. And they're practicing Islam properly, everything. They will take a, one time they were shooting a film about Algeria. But where were they shooting it? Yeah, in Rudiput, where the masjid is. And around that, where those houses are, and little scene like Algeria. They were shooting the film here and showing it off like it is there in Algeria. And we will watch all this and we will take it like that. Whereas it has got nothing to do with Algeria. Not so long ago, India and Pakistan in a cricket match, the Pakistanis won. And the youngsters in Pakistan were celebrating it, how they go about. And this again is just an example. Not that we also force sports and all this, they're celebrating and all this wrong thing. Anyway, then a video was made of that. That was used in India to spread the news that the Indian Muslims, they are celebrating the victory of Pakistan, so they are not patriotic. They don't support their country, they're supporting Pakistan in order to cause riots there. They use that, which is not in, which wasn't in India at all. It was something that had taken place in Pakistan. And Pakistanis celebrating their country's victory, according to them, they are justified for that. But how it is used? In the same way, in Mexico, a woman who was a drug dealer and was causing a lot of problems to her, a terrible woman, they caught hold of her and they tortured her and they videoed the whole thing, and what a terrible ordeal she went through. That was used in India, that a Hindu girl married a Muslim boy, and the Muslim family now treated that Hindu girl like that. It has nothing whatsoever, and we all know these things. But yet when it comes, we just fall for it. So anyway, what the wrong picture they're giving that this life and our foodstuffs that we are eating and the way they make their things appear, if we come to reality and we come on the right thing, we will easily be able to manage our affairs. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah has only made us responsible for that amount that we can do. And we can do it. Like, for example, many of us, what is Ramadan? It is when we break roza, our samosas, our pies, our bhajiyas, all that. And this has really nothing to do anything with Ramadan. All our savories, all our desserts, this really has got nothing to do with Ramadan. Ramadan has got to do with duas at iftari time. Ramadan has got to do with detoxing of the body, And with all these things, we are making things worse. So if we come right, what we have to do, three quarter or more of the battle will be won. On one occasion, a Jamaat went to one West African country. When they got there, those people, the immigration, all where you are coming from, etc., you are Muslims. So they just could not believe they are Muslims. This was indoctrinated in them and told to them there are no Muslims left in the world. It is only you few Muslims in this country that are left as Muslims. Otherwise the whole world has given up Islam. And they were accepting that. And they were pulling at their beards that it can't be genuine beards which a Muslim keeps. And we might think that how can this happen? Right now, at the present moment, and people who are right in the forefront of what this information, first-hand information, they have convinced the Saudis, America, they have convinced the Saudis that camel meat, camel milk is most harmful. And there is a lot of harm in it. For the past 4 or 5 years, to slaughter a camel in Saudi is a major crime, and you'll pay a very, very heavy fine to have camel milk also. At the same time, in America, they are breeding camels. And they brought people from Iraq there who know how to breed camels, eat camels, and know how to rear them and look after them. In this way, they are making us so stupid, and unfortunately, we just fall for it. And in the food industry, they've also used this of theirs, and they have made us real fools in this matter. And all their food, what is it? It is a whole big scam to make us sick, really. And then afterwards, you now go to their medicine and to their doctors now. First, they will make you sick with all their food. All the diabetes you will pick up, the blood pressure you will pick up, all the things that you will pick up, all it is from the food that they are giving us. And if we can come back, which is a simple thing of our deen, a basic fundamental of our deen, al-bazazatu min al-iman, simplicity. If we can come to simple food, but Eid is not now very far, and see for Eid the preparations that will start. And the table on each day, a person, if the every day he kept rosas and he opened it with all this deep fries and all this other things, he did so much harm. A person who kept 29, 30 rosas and controlled himself, and on each day he goes to town. Now with all what is there, you are destroying yourself. Spiritually also, and physically also. You just bring yourself again, not to zero, but really to minus again. So, and that will be on everyone. And not only that, now it is a new era that we are living in. They will find the young girls who have prepared all that, taking photos and sending to everyone now. So there is a whole aspect of show, riya. That see what we have prepared, what we have done, what we have got here. This goes around everywhere. And all that comes again. And not long after that will be Qurbani is videoed also today. Everything is videoed. So where is the essence of our deen? And where is the simplicity? And if we can deen Islam, and the reality of deen is simplicity. In our clothing, in everything, simplicity. But that is also a swear word. Like a couple who got married, and they went for a honeymoon, which is also of course not right, came back. The girl phoned the mother that, Mummy, please come and pick me up. Why? What's wrong? You just back from your honeymoon. My husband is using all four-letter words on me. He's just swearing me all the time. What is he telling you? He's telling me to iron the clothes, his clothes. He's telling me to wash the dishes. Wash is a swear word. Ironing is a swear word, iron. He's telling me using words, five-letter words, to sweep. All these things. So when that is our case, we are not prepared to do anything whatsoever. And we just want everything to fall from the air, then we can expect what we are having now. It's only that what we can expect. Our ustad should say that if you plant weeds, then don't expect roses to grow. Today we are planting weeds in our stomachs also. Everything, and I'm telling you, I'm the same also. So the way we are overtaken, and what we want to eat, we all have to make dua for one another. We collectively have to make an effort. And whoever can do this and get whatever, if not in the family, just yourself, you can correct yourself. You will be doing yourself a great favor. So with regard to food, the main thing is the haram and the doubtful. But health food also. That is another very, very important aspect. If we can come down to health food, and we can come down to simplicity. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when he should see the dasturkhans of South Africa, the food that is presented, he says that it's impossible to have this dasturkhan without haram added in it. Otherwise, you can't have such a dasturkhan. For example, the earning that you have to do to prepare such a dasturkhan. And of course, that dasturkhan is not a one-time off thing. It's a regular feature. So he says your women have to go out to work to earn, which is a fact. So what barakat is in that money? When the woman also is going out and she's also earning, And then he said that for that food, your shopping has to be so much. Today for one ingredient, we are ordering from Bombay and from Dubai and from Karachi ingredients. One good friend of ours, they were going to UK, and their host in UK, their family people, asked them for some special spicy things from Steers. From Steers, you have to take things to go to the people there. So when this is our taste like this, then what can we expect? So all these extra things, if we come to simplicity, which we can't understand, we hear the stories little bit, we can hear that also perhaps doesn't make sense. That cabbage, they just boil the cabbage, not stories in the kitabs, actual fact, people are living like that. They just boil that cabbage, no salt also added. They just have that is their meal. And they're healthy, more healthier than us. They got more strength than us. After we eating all what we are eating, then we still need vitamin tablets. We still need now, eyes are not functioning, too weak, brain is not functioning, body is not functioning. And when they eat the simple food, what strength they have got. And today they have worked across the board. Our local people also, their local food was the staple food, they were strong. They also, diabetes was an unknown thing in the local people. Wearing of glasses was an unknown thing in the local people. It's all common. It is all the food that we are having. And we have to be very careful about this. So this Ramadan is that month. If we can regulate and moderate this also, and we work towards it, hopefully, like for example, 60 years what it was, and today what it became. The same thing again, we don't know in the future. If we will put the foundation and work in the right direction, we will bring lot of goodness for us and for our generations and for the ummah and for mankind at large. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.